first of all, go to Psalm 63:1. That's the verse that we had as a memory verse. Again, as those verses come up, you can give those verses to Miss Rose and say them to her. And if you had perfect attendance or you said your verse and your name was called last week, don't forget to get something out of the goodie bag. If you forgot, I'll sit it up front here. And just in case, amen. All right, Psalm 63:1, that was the verse that we left off on as a memory verse that I gave you. It seems like it was ages ago. Brother Duffy has already solved the immigration problems for us, so we're good. Good on that level.
It was a good one, Pastor. It was good.
Psalm 63:1, we'll say the reference and then read it and then quote the reference again. Getting the psalm is hard for our stress level. Amen. 63:1. Here we go. Let's say it all together. Psalm 63:1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Psalm 63:1. Amen. That is the psalmist's desire, and I trust that is our desire as well as we get this victory over stress. There is a lot of stress involved with the holidays, if you let it. Say it again, if you let it, amen. But we're not going to let it, right, amen? All right, amen, good, good. Well, let's pray and we'll get into the lesson. Father, thank you once again. For your goodness, thank you for your grace. And Lord, once again, we know stress is something that comes with the holiday season oftentimes. And unfortunately, Lord, it comes to the Christian. Lord, help us to prioritize to make sure that the things that need to be done are the things that we do, the things that we need not do, are things that we refrain from doing, that, Lord, the unnecessary stress will not be upon our lives as God's people. Work now in us and work through us, God, that you may get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we'll thank you for what you have done and what you're going to do. Lord, change our hearts, Lord, and direct our thoughts toward thee, that we can have more peace, the peace that passes all understanding, when all around us seems to be up in arms and stressed out. Lord, that work in us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let me get you filled in your book, and just in case you do not have those filled in, chapter number one is the pace of Mary. The pace of Mary. That is Roman numeral number one, the pace of Mary. A under that is a restful pace. A restful pace. B is a renewing pace. A renewing pace. The number one is renew your focus. Renew your focus. Then number two, renew your faith. Renew your faith. Number three, renew your fervency. Fervency. That's that bubbling desire, that passion that you have. Fervency. Okay. And let me give you the outline for number two. Number two, did I give the outline for number two already? Okay. The place of Mary. The place of Mary. Then A, it's a humble place. A humble place. Then B, an honorable place. An honorable place. All right, so we're going to go over that today. Humble place, A. And then B, an honorable place. And then Roman number two, the place of Mary. Before we get into that, though, I've got this devotional that someone gave me, and it kind of goes along with the pace of Mary. And it says, the pastor is in. And it's a 30-day faith devotional inspired by the Peanuts. The author of this really enjoyed the Peanuts, and so the author went through and did a study on the Peanuts. And his name is Rigel Dawson. And so I'm partial to him, but it's a 30-day devotional. I penned one that goes along with the pace of Mary. And it says, slow down, Charlie Brown. And it's got Charlie Brown talking to, what's the girl, the black hair? I don't know. I don't think this is Lucy. Anybody know their Peanuts? I don't know who this girl is. I don't look at, anybody? Dirty Brown, who? I don't know who she is. That's Lucy? I thought Lucy had light hair. Okay, so it may be Lucy. But she's bragging on, well, now it couldn't be Lucy because she's bragging on her. Aren't they brother and sister, Lucy and Charlie Brown? They're not sister and brother? I showed you how much I know about them. Amen. All right. I thought they were sister and brother. Amen. But anyway, she's ragging on her dad because her dad is a bowler and he's got these averages throughout the week. Then Charlie Brown just looks at her and says, my dad stays at home nights. Amen. That's just relaxing. But it says this, slow down, Charlie Brown. And this is going right along with the pace of Mary. And it says this, we've become addicted to activity. It says the effect of our amped up achievement driven culture is that many of us have become slaves to our vocations. And then it says, and even slaves to our vacations. How many of y'all ever gone on vacation? You came back more tired?
Amen.
Our vacation is supposed to be that way.
No.
I remember talking to a dear man, and he said that he went on vacation. And I said, what'd you do? He said, nothing. He said, absolutely nothing. He said, I did days of nothing. And I thought, I was envious. I said, I don't do days of nothing. Amen. He says, we work harder and harder. We fill every waking moment with some labor intended to get us ahead or at the very least to keep us on pace with the pack. This mentality seeps into our recreation. We can hardly relax anymore for competing and pushing ourselves to be extreme. Just look at the average cruise itinerary. It's loaded with jet skiing, sightseeing, shopping, golfing, snorkeling, rock climbing, parasailing, and every kind of adventure. The wise King Solomon was addicted to accomplishment until he realized the pointlessness of his pursuit. Some of the things that he came to realize were, one, those yet to come won't even remember what you achieved. Two, someone else will inherit everything you've earned, and that person may be a wasteful fool who squanders in no time what it took you a lifetime to build. Number three, no matter what you do, you are still destined for the dust. That's pretty humbling, isn't it? Amen. He said, now let's be clear. There's nothing wrong with being driven as long as you request frequent stops along the way. Don't let the rapid pace of society cause you to miss what's really important. Don't neglect to nurture your marriage. Don't overlook the lives of your children. Don't fail to savor your friendships. And above all, don't forget to feed your spirit. He said, we've bought wholeheartedly into the just do it mentality, but we need to modify that mantra and start telling ourselves to just be it.
Wow.
There's a concept. Amen. Mm-hmm. Instead of doing what the Christian should do, just be what the Christian ought to be. And then you'll do what the Christian ought to do. He says this, what we desperately need is a radical redefinition of success. Pray today for a renewed spirit and the ability to see success for yourself and your family, not in terms of doing what the world dictates, but in terms of being what you're called to be. Just be a good, attentive father. Just be a sensitive and caring mother. Just be a loyal and loving friend. Just be a faithful, considerate husband. Just be a devoted and diligent wife. Just be. Says, just be a loving, forgiving, acting, and active Christian. Just be. I thought, wow, that's pretty good. Amen. And this is directed towards pastors. But y'all can take some of that with you as well. Amen. So this is the pastor is in a 30-day faith devotional. I thought that was really right in line with the pace of Mary because Mary did not try to keep up with Martha. You know, she had her own agenda. And what was her agenda? Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen. Martha had a pace that was just running. So we're talking about now not just the pace of Mary, but the place of Mary. By the way, the posture of the disciples and the learners in ancient times was sitting at the feet of a teacher. And to sit at the feet of a teacher meant that you were submitting to the teacher and you were humbled in front of the teacher and that you could learn from the teacher. And so that's pretty much what Mary is demonstrating here. And so in your Roman numeral, in your letters there, A is a humble place. And let's go over to Acts 22 real quick. Acts 22. Acts 22. In Acts 22, Paul begins to give some of his credentials. And Acts 22, and who's there can read that for me? Acts 22 and verse number 3. Rose, go ahead. Amen. Paul lets us know that he is not ashamed to let you know where he learned. He said, I sat at the feet of who? Gamaliel. He was one of the noted teachers of the day. He was very, very instrumental in Paul's young life as a Pharisee. And so he says, you know what? I sat at the feet of this man here. Notice what he says down there in verse number one. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And then he lets them know, I sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and he is letting these folks know that you all know Gamaliel, and you recognize his greatness as a teacher, and I was his pupil. So now what does that say about Mary? Who is her teacher? Jesus. So what does that say about what she's capable of learning? Much. If Paul could learn at the feet of Gamaliel, you know, some of these guys, they pride themselves in going to Harvard Law School or one of these other great learned institutions to learn to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever it is that this school is famous and known for. But Paul says, I learned from Gamaliel. I sat at his feet. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so it's a humble place. And she was willing to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. And sitting at someone's feet acknowledged that they were superior to you. Does the serving that Martha is doing, does that show that she is superior or that Jesus is superior or her serving is superior? Her serving. What is she trying to do? Trying to prove something.
Yep.
I can serve. By the way, does God know what we can do?
Yes, he does. Pastor, he does.
Do we have to prove to him what we can do?
No, we don't.
No. Because he already knows. Then answer this question. If we don't have to prove to God by doing, why do we do? Why do we do? Obedience, okay, that's good. Rose? Our love. Our love. If we already know that he knows what we can do, then why should we do or why do we do? We do because we love him.
That's right.
She is sitting at the feet of Jesus to acknowledge that he is superior, and Martha should be serving because she loves her Lord. Now, I'm not questioning her love. Obviously, she probably does. But we do because we love. And so Mary here is sitting at the humble place here because she is learning from him. And so, by the way, our culture does not value humility.
Right. That's right, Pastor.
And sitting at the feet of Jesus shows humility.
Yes, sir, it does.
I've got to learn. It's saying, I don't know it all. It's saying, I need some instruction. It's saying, feed me, please. Give me something. And so Mary here is showing her humility. The world praises, sadly so, a Donald Trump mentality. Up in your face, I'm better than you, I can one-up you, I can top you, and if I can't top you, I can talk about you to make you feel worse so I can be better than you. By minimizing you, I lift myself up. And our world values that mentality. I mean, if you can out-talk somebody, I watch ESPN, and there's this show in there called Undisputed. Anybody seen that? Skip and Shannon. Shannon Sharp is an ex-football player, and Skip is an analyst for sports. And so they get these topics, and they go head-to-head. And they're trying to be the undisputed champion. And so one will say something and comment in the positive. The other will comment in the negative about the same thing. And it becomes a competition to see who can out-talk who and who can dog the other's reasonings out. And it can make you upset if you watch it sometimes. So like you watch the debates, and the debates can make you upset. Amen. And that's oftentimes what happens in Christianity. There's a one-up. And what happens in our society? The world praises those who are loud and argumentative, and we cannot find God's grace when we are that way. By the way, humility is the exact opposite of pride. Go to 1 Peter. And 1 Peter chapter number 5. Because Mary is showing a humility. By the way, we cannot find God's grace to deal with stress unless we are willing to humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Who's got that? Can read that for me. 1 Peter 5, 5. Go ahead. Is it Rose? Amen. Now, notice that. God resisteth the proud. What does it mean to resist something? Stay away, stay back. What else? Resist.
Don't do it.
Die to self, okay. Okay, blocking yourself. Brother said fight against it, okay. So if I'm going to resist temptation, what am I going to do? Don't acknowledge it. Okay, what else am I going to do? I'm going to resist temptation.
Rebuke?
Well, not necessarily rebuke. Turn away from it? Yes, sis. Because if it's in my house, what is it?
Temptation.
Temptation. So, well, I got willpower. And but no, I don't have that. I'm just going to be honest. If it's there, I'm going to eat it. I mean, it's just the way it is, unless I don't know it's there. Amen. It means to oppose or to fight against or to range against someone in battle.
Yep.
To be on the exact opposite side of someone to oppose them. More like a boxer. The boxer is this way, and where's the other boxer at?
Right there.
Right there. Now, what if the boxer was behind me and I'm this way? What's going to happen to me? I'm going to get hit upside the head. This is not fight. This is not a smart fight. To be like this and the boxer's behind me or the boxer's over here or the boxer's over here. The boxer has got to be here and the opponent's got to be right there. And if the boxer moves, where should I move? What is my goal? To keep the boxer in front of me. Because the minute I lose sight of him, what can he do? Co-cock me. Amen. Pop me upside the head. He can hit me with a punch that I don't know it's coming, and he can hit me in the midsection, in the gut, in the head, in the jaw, in the chin, in the back of the head, and I'm bald. That's not good. Amen. And so it means to oppose or to fight against or to rage against someone in battle. And so notice what it says here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, which is what Mary has. For God resisteth, or he opposes, or he fights against, or he is on the opposite side of the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So Mary, by her position and her humble position, is really saying that, Lord, I want you to give me something. I'm not going to oppose you. I'm not going to resist you. I'm going to be on the same side as you are. The book says it this way. We cannot find strength and renewal from God unless we're willing to lay down our pride and self-reliance and humble ourselves before him. By the way, There is nothing about sitting at the feet that the world's going to give you an accolade for. The world's not going to throw at you some rewards, Brother Wilkerson, for allowing your son to go to the Bible B. They're not going to say, oh, praise you for letting your son go to the Bible B. You did an excellent thing. On the contrary, they'll probably say, you fool. You could have got that money and went down to Disneyland. You could have went to Disney World. You could have went to SeaWorld or some other world. Amen. But you chose to go to that Christian world. They're not going to praise us for being humble and for doing the things of God. The world could care less. As long as they can step on us, amen.
Amen.
There's nothing about sitting at the feet of Jesus that will gain us praise from men. Entering into our closets to pray in secret will, though. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6. And it amazes me, the world doesn't have any problem with you and I doing Christian-type things until it deals and confronts and conflicts with them. Then they don't want you to do anything Christian-like. Matthew 6 and verse 6. Who's got that? Can read that. Matthew 6, 6. Go ahead, Carlene. Amen. That is a humble position.
Yes, sir.
I have to go to God and say, God, I don't have, and I need you to give. I don't have what it takes, and Lord, I want you to give it to me. Now, is it going to give me accolades in the world? No, it's not. But what will it give me? Praying in my closet. What will that give me? Comfort, peace. What else can it give me? Confidence, what else can it give me? Blessings?
Strength.
Humility, what else?
Connection with God?
By the way, as long as God is for me, who can be against me? And so in my closet, I can get all those things mentioned. I can get refreshed in my spirit. I can get relieved. Brother Jesse did the men's devotion yesterday on 1 Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And he used the analogy of going fishing. He said, you've got the rod. What do? You cast that thing out. And that is what God wants us to do. He wants us to cast those cares on him. Now, if I'm casting that thing out there, is it here with me? No, I'm casting it out there. Now, if it's out there, guess what? That frees me up. Amen. For the blessings of God. Because I want God to handle it anyway, because I couldn't handle it in the first place. Amen. If I could, I wouldn't be cumbered about. Go down to 633. A very familiar verse, 633. Jesus, after going down, talking about all these things in chapter 33, says this, but seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And how many things? All these things should be added unto you. And by the way, at the end of the day, the things are still just that.
That's right.
Things. Mm-hmm. Can I take things to heaven?
No, you cannot.
No. But is God going to be in heaven?
Yes.
Hallelujah,
yes.
And praise
Hallelujah
God.
For that.
So the Lord says, seek me first. Mm-hmm. And the things, I can give you those things. And by the way, the thing can be taken away, as Solomon found out.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what can't be taken away? My time with the Lord Jesus Christ. That can't be taken away. And that's the point that Jesus is trying to get Martha to see. He said, one thing is needful. Mary's chosen that part which is not going to be taken away from her. And so when you look at this humble place of Mary, she has what she needs. She's seeking first the kingdom of God. It's a humble place. She's showing her humility. The book says this, we must resist the temptation to do battle in our own strength. Our own problems, our own dilemmas we cannot handle. And we must humbly acknowledge our need of God's strength in our time of need and watch him work.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I like it.
I don't know about you, but I can't do it. Now, there's some things that I can do. But there's some things that I can't do. I've got to give those to the Lord. So the place of Mary is a humble place, but then it's an honorable place, B. An honorable place. Says this, often we are driven to attain the honors and attention of the world while neglecting the honor of being with Jesus. Rhetorical question. Do I want to be a better co-worker in my place of employment, or do I want to be a better Christian in my place of employment? Rhetorical question, Josiah. What do I want to be better? And I'll answer for you in my own life. I wanted to be a better Christian. There were a lot of things that I could have done to excel and do all these things. And one of my first priorities was I want to be a good Christian.
Yep.
Now, I'm not going to be a bad worker, but I want to be a good Christian. And if it comes down to me being a good Christian or me being this one that everybody admires on the job, I'm going to be a good Christian.
Yep.
By the way, not everybody liked me at my job.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you this. They had to respect my stand for Jesus.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Whether they liked it or not, they had to respect it because it was consistent. It was constant.
Yep.
It was comforting. It was Christ-like. It was honorable. You say, preacher, did you ever lose your cool? Yes, I did. And what did you do? The godly thing. Please forgive me. That is not the way I should have behaved myself. I went right back to him and said, that's not the way God would have me behave. And they began to respect that because they knew if he makes a mistake, he's going to own up to it. If he doesn't do what he ought to do, he's going to be honest about it. He's not going to sign off for things that he knows is not right. And so after a while, they said, well, we know this about Dawson. He's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where when I walked into the office and new people came in, they said, he's going to try and tell you about Jesus. We're just going to warn you off right now. He's going to try and tell you about Jesus. And so when I would get one-on-one with people, they would say, well, let me have it. I said, let you have what? Well, they said, you're going to tell me about Jesus. And I said, is that what they said? They said, yeah, they said, you're going to tell us about Jesus. I said, and what do you think about that? I'm waiting to hear about it. I thought, God, you're so good. You're so good. You know why that came? Because of my consistency.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to back. I don't care who they were. My boss, I even told my boss about Jesus. He can't. Like, look, you need Jesus too. I don't care how many gold bars you got up there. I don't care how many clover leaves you got up there. I don't care how many stars you got. I'm going to tell you about Jesus.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to go in there and beat him up, you know, because he might toss me out.
Yes, sir.
But it says that no one passes out trophies for faithfulness in daily devotions. Did y'all know that?
Mm.
How many of y'all got a trophy today for doing your devotions this morning? Nobody? How many got a red ribbon for getting up doing your Bible reading this morning? Nobody? How many got some, you know, got some kind of reward for doing something this morning from the world? Yes. Yeah. The world values not those things. They could care less.
Yes, Pastor.
But the minute you start standing, boy, I'll tell you what. Ooh. Brother Hall was telling me the story about this preacher from Mexico. They were doing border checks, and I guess they were opposing the border implementations that are coming up and things like that. And so this church, I guess, was aiding illegal immigrants.
Hmm.
And the brother Hall called him on the car. He said, are you, this your church? He said, yeah. You a pastor? Yeah. He said, so how are you supporting illegal immigrants coming in and breaking the law?
Hmm.
And he said, the guy said, I'm sorry. I said, that's all he said. What else could he say? He's breaking the law by trying to get people in illegally. That is not the law. That he's breaking the law. He said, how can you call yourself a Christian? You're breaking the law like that so blatantly. And the pastor. And he said, the guy just said, I'm sorry. He shook his head. And Brother Hall's like, I'm just trying to find out. What's your rationale behind that? He said, the guy going, I'm sorry. Amen. The world's not giving anything out for that. There are no plaques giving out for time that we spend in prayer. But it says, yeah, what an honor it is for us to be able to enter into the presence of the ruler of heaven and earth. And think about what you gain with Christ. Think about what you gain in your godly character. Think about what you gain with the presence of God. And you can leave with the peace that passes all understanding. So Mary has this honorable place. I like this. It says the greatest honor in life is to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know in heaven it says we're going to cast our crowns at Jesus' feet?
Yes, sir. Yes.
We can do that every day. When we do, we will find that stress of life diminishes when compared to the greatness of the glory of God when we sit at the feet of Jesus. And that's what Mary is finding in this opportunity to sit with Jesus. And she took this time amidst all the busyness some rhetorical questions to ask yourself. Ask yourself this: what is my purpose for coming to Sunday school? Rhetorical question. What's my purpose? What is my purpose for coming to AM service? What's my purpose? Why do I come? What is my purpose for coming back Sunday night? What's my purpose? Another question. What's my purpose for coming on Wednesday? What's my purpose? What's my purpose for going to men's devotion? What's my purpose for going to ladies' meetings? What's my purpose for going soul winning? Why do I do what I do? And it's a question that you have to answer. Because if you do it, there must be a reason why you do it. And I've got to ask this question as well. If I do it, what does God think about my reason for doing it? Now, I can do it out of law. But what would God rather have me do it out of? Love.
Love.
Love for Him. Do it out of love. Oh, I can do it out of learning.
Yep.
But my learning should still be hinged upon my love.
Love.
I want to do this because I want to learn about my Lord whom I love. Mm. By the way, men, bad husbands, we should still be learning our wives. Why?
Yes, sir,
because we love them.
That's right.
You know, just because we caught them, you know, and we don't have to chase them anymore, doesn't mean we'd stop learning them. And I hit my own hand.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
We still have to learn them. Why? Because we said we love them.
Mm-hmm.
And if we love them, we should learn them.
Yes, sir.
What does the Bible say? Dwell with them according to what?
Knowledge.
The word for knowledge is science.
There we go.
And it means to know. So what are we doing? We're learning.
Yes, sir, we are.
By the way, ladies, you are some difficult people to understand. You are one of the greatest creations of God, but you are the most complex, I would say. I mean, you're one way this minute, the next minute you're way over here, and your thoughts have changed and emotions have changed over here, and I'm still over here, and you're like, okay, what are you doing over there? Well, I changed. Well, why did you change? I don't know. Well, what do you want me to do? Change and come over here. I can't shift gears that fast. Complex. And so learning. So even if I'm learning like Mary at the feet of Jesus, guess what? I'm learning out of a position of love. If I'm laboring for him, I'm laboring out of love. Mary is doing what she's doing out of love. And by the way, if Martha was doing what she was doing out of sure love, would she have gotten mad at Mary? If Martha was doing what she did out of sheer love, would she have gotten mad? Why would she not have gotten mad? She would have loved serving. She would have loved, and it wouldn't matter if somebody helped me or not. It wouldn't matter. Because I'm doing this because I love him. And whether you join me or not, I don't care. Hey, it's the same way with church. I'm going to come to Sunday school because I love it. So whether you come or not, it's not going to stop me. I'm going to come to the morning service. I'm going to go to Sunday school. I'm going to go to Wednesday night. I'm going to go to soul. And whether you come or not, it's not going to stop me because I love what I do.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
It's not going to stop me. You got folks saying, well, I'm not going to come if so-and-so doesn't come. What is that? Well, if so-and-so doesn't going to be a part of it and not going to help, I'm not going to help. Granted, it makes it easier sometimes if someone comes, but that's not what I do. I love. And because I love, I do. And my love is not going to stop me from doing. And whether you do or not, it's going to stop me. And so it's a love that's involved there. Let's go on to that next one here. The purpose of Mary. Roman numeral 3, the purpose of Mary. And that's why we introduced that thought, the purpose of Mary. Why was Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus? Her goal was not to look good to others. She wasn't sitting there because it was required. She wasn't trying to measure up to someone else's standard. By the way, the first several months of me coming to church at Belgium, I was oblivious to who was there. I was oblivious to it. Why was I oblivious to who was there? Besides the pastor. Why was I oblivious to who was there the first several months of coming to church? Anybody know? Brother Sherry.
Because you were focused on what you were learning, growing.
Exactly. I was enamored with the Lord. I'm thinking, I don't care if anybody else is here. He's here. And I didn't recognize people around me. I didn't know they were there. I remember when I first met my wife, I was focused on her. Everybody else faded when I was around her because she was all that mattered. Early on when I came to church, the only one that mattered was hearing about my Lord whom I loved, who saved me, and I was a wretch, and he still loved me. And I don't care what you guys think about me over here. And I wasn't dressed properly according to Christian standards.
Yes, sir.
I had on the clothes that I wore in the nightclub. They probably still smell like cigarettes too. And so I wasn't there to please someone with how I was dressed. I wasn't there looking fancy and looking sharp. I remember the first time I went soul winning. I went in a sweatshirt and sweatpants and sneakers. Why? I just want to tell somebody about Jesus.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
And you know, nobody said, oh, you can't go soul winning like that. I'm sorry. We've got standards around here. And if you go looking like that, people are going to think you're going to the gym. Nobody said that to me. My wife and I did our first vacation Bible school. My wife had on sweatshirt and sweatpants. I had on sweatshirt and sweatpants. We got the pictures at home to prove it. And we got all the kids sitting there, and we're just excited to be helping Jesus.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
We look back at that and we say, oh, what were we thinking? We were thinking we love the Lord. And we're going to serve the Lord. We learned in time that give God your best. Early on, we didn't know about that. We just know we love him. We love him. We're going to come to church because we love him. We're going to go soul winning because we love him. I'm in sweatpants, amen. I remember the first time I put on a nice sweater and some slacks, and someone said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to soul winning. They said, man, you look nice. I'm like, how did I look before then? And if the truth be known, I looked like I was going to a basketball game.
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
The purpose of Mary. The thing that we have to consider is, what is our purpose? What is our purpose? Let me leave you with a verse of scripture here for our memory verse, and we'll pick up with this thought next time, the purpose of Mary. And go back to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And notice in Matthew chapter 6, and this is a verse that we have done many, many times, 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things should be added unto you. Why? That should be the purpose. The purpose of why we do what we do. I come to church. I soul win. I read my Bible. I pray. Whatever I do it because of my Lord. I love him. Now, is it going to become a duty and laborious sometime? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
But when I go back and seek him at his feet, and humble myself and say, Lord, I'm under your leadership now. And I want to learn from you, and because I love you. And Lord, I want to learn about you because I want to love you more. Mm-hmm. By the way, husbands, learning our wives says we love you. I want to love you more. Mm-hmm. I want to love you more. Bad pastor. Let me give you something. And I'm sure we're all guilty to a degree. Learning our children is the same. They talk about the generation gap. You know why the generation gap is there? Because we don't learn our children.
Right.
We don't learn the phases that they're going through. We don't get into their minds. We don't engage them. We let them go and do what they want to do. And we forget that they need to be engaged. Mm-hmm. And we stop learning them. And the next thing we know, they're 21.
Oh, yeah.
And they're gone. And we don't know them. Yeah, you know, every time I'm around Brother Baldwin, it just brings conviction on my heart.
That's good.
He talks to his family every moment of every day.
Amen.
His sons are calling him. They're just calling him. And I'm thinking, who's that? Oh, that's Kenny. Who's that? That's Mike. And he's way over. They don't let him go.
That's right.
Kenny Baldwin had nerve to call me and say, Pastor Dawson, my dad wants to watch the Cowboys today. don't have him tied up all day. You called to tell me that?
Oh, man.
He said, let me speak back to my dad. Now, he's pastoring a church out there. He can be in North Carolina. He can be. What? They always are calling each other. They're grown, got their own family, got their own kids. But his kids are still calling him. I want that when I get older. I want my kids calling me all the time. And I want that connection, but I've got to learn them. My children, they said, "Dad, you just saw me." I mean, I can just leave my wife and we're driving down the road and the phone will ring. They said, "Dad, why is Mom calling you? You just saw her." I said, "Because we love each other."
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And they'll say, I said, "You'll get, when you get your honey, you'll feel the same way."
I like it, Pastor. Amen.
And they say, "What y'all talking about?" I said, "We're talking about y'all." No, what am I saying? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Learn him to love him more. But then we've got to learn each other as well. Learn our wives, learn our children, so that we can get what God has for us. Amen. Matthew 6:33 is going to be our verse. We'll pick up and close this out next week.
Amen.
And then go into the victory over culture next week. Father, thank you once again for your goodness. Thank you for this example that Mary has given us, Lord. We know the world's not going to give us trophies. The world's not going to give us accolades. The world's not going to give us anything special for our devotional time, our prayer time. But Lord, thank you that it is time that will not be wasted. It is time that you are honored by. And Lord, it is time where we are humbling ourselves under your hand. Lord, thank you that it is an honorable place sitting at your feet. It's a humble place, acknowledging our need for you in everything that we think, say, and do. Oh, Lord, help us to learn to love you more. Lord, help us to learn to labor for you because we love you more. God, help us to learn to listen to you more because we love you. Lord, help us to learn more about you just because we love you. Lord, what a God we serve. Guide us now to refreshment time. Bless refreshments, those that bought them and prepared them. And guide us into our next hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.